traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. I'm late to the gate today, that's for sure. I wonder what that fine's going to be, but it was all my own doing, and I plead guilty. We're starting today. We're going to start talking about the format of International Equine Network, just what our mission statement is and what we're going to be doing. We've got a lot of good things lined up here. And we've taken, over 2 years just to kind of go through some things and see what, would work and what would not work. And, did a lot of, statistical reviews of what's going on in the business, in the horse business of all breeds all over the world. And we know who we identified as the major players in what we're doing. And one of the major players that we're doing is a show called Quest for Equine Gold. There's an organization called the Longines Global Champions Tour, and they show horses all over the world, and it's a series of shows. And at the end of the year, they had the top riders, and these are Olympic quality horses and showmen and people that are showing. And what I like about it is it's pretty much about the same 25 riders and show horses that travel the world. This is a very interesting thing that they've come up with, and it's very successful. And now they're just now getting into the television aspect of it. And they've been working on this a long time also. And so what I've done is I've labeled this program called Quest for Equine Gold. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to show how people in the show horse industry, show jumping, what they have to go through to get the gold, whether it's in the Olympics or the Pan American Games or in the Global Champions Tour. Show horses, they're not anything at all like racehorses. Even though some of them are X-race horses, it takes years and years to get a show horse up to top quality competition like the Olympics or the Pan American Games or the Global Champions Tour. And it's a lot of dedication, 6-7 days a week with them, many hours during the day to train the horses, condition them, get them just right. And most of the show horses are older. You see some of them that are 8 years old, but most of them are 10, 9, 10, 11, 12. They're older horses. And like I said, it takes a lot to get them, to that point. And on our February 22nd show, we're going to be going to television and video. And one of our people that we're going to have on the show is, her name's Arlie. You'll get to meet her on February 2nd. She is a show rider, and she rides, all over the world. And she's just a fantastic rider. And it's going to be, our introduction to her. And then she's going to really help us and explain to us about the show horse world and show jumping. And it's a phenomenal series of shows. And you just wouldn't believe it. The first show starts out in Miami Beach, April the 12th through the 15th. And this show ring is literally built on the beach at South Beach. They go out there every year and they build a nice arena. They got stadium seating that you have there. And as you look at the horses in the arena, you're probably 50, 60 yards away from the Atlantic Ocean. It's a great scene, to be seen. It's unreal. Then they go to Mexico City, April 20th, Madrid, Spain, May 12th. They go to St. Tropez June 1st. So, every 2 or 3 weeks, there's something going on somewhere. They'll be in Cannes, Stockholm, Paris, Monaco, London, Rome, New York, Riyadh, and the championships will be in Prague. So the whole point that we're trying to get across here is we're going to bring quality show horse jumping to Quest for Equine Gold from all around the world. And we'll be doing interviews every couple of weeks with people that are at the shows. And we're going to be doing a lot of different things, you know, with Quest for Equine Gold. But what we're going to try to do is help you understand the show horse business. And it all starts out, and it starts at local facilities and farms like us here at Sunshine Meadows and Delray Equestrian. We have a lot of kids that are just 5, 6, 7 years old starting out. And then in 20 years, these are the kids you'll see in the Olympics. It's just amazing how dedicated these kids are from the get-go. And that's what makes it go. You know, it really does. It's a lifestyle. Once you become a horseman into the horse industry, it becomes a part of your life. And that's what we're going to show. We're going to show people how they live and where they go and, you know, the whole nine yards, what we're going to do with it. And we're going to do it through various ways, through radio, through print, through television. And we think that if you're going to like it. You don't have to be a horseman to watch our programming. That was my main concern. We got to talking about some things, fellow horsemen here in South Florida. And what we didn't want to do is we didn't want to get into, like, say, for example, the racing end of it. We didn't want to get into, you know, odds and betting and the gambling aspect of it. You'll very rarely hear us talk about gambling on the horses. You might hear us say, Churchill Downs, Keeneland Gulfstream, or whatever track we're talking about had a record amount of money wagered. And the reason we do that is we're just trying to show you how strong the economy is. And when we talk economy and horses, the horse industry affects communities all over the country, all over the world. Now, in Europe and South America, it's part of their culture. Just about anybody you talk to from Europe or South America, Asia, that are horsemen, their family have been involved with the horses all their life. It's part of their, you know, their heritage. And so these are the kind of things that, you know, we're trying to explain, and that's why we don't talk about a lot about the gambling aspect of it, because eventually they're going to have gambling on show horses. They're laying out a program right now that's going to set foundation for wagering on show horses. And it's taken, they've been talking about this for 10 years and working on it. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, in the show horse business, how fast it goes along. But that's what we're going to do. It's our debut on February 2nd at 1 o'clock here on BBS Radio and all its affiliations that they connect us to. And we're going to have a live YouTube channel, and we'll be live on Facebook with it. We'll be based from BBS. And if you go to BBS Radio TV, let me tell you something. You can find us, whether it's on iTunes, iHeart, you know, you name it. They have a link there to get to our programming, and that's what I like about BBS. So they can cover it all, and they got great programming other than horses on there too. So it's a good stop for you, a good 5-10 minutes to look at, and I think you'll enjoy it. But the horse aspect of it is. What we're doing here, you do not have to be a horse person to watch our programming, because our programming is going to be entertaining. And that's what we're here for. We're here to inform and entertain the general public. And once we start doing that, we're going to build our fan base, and that fan base comes into new riders, new trainers, new owners. It starts feeding the system. by bringing in new people. It's always the toughest sell is to sell somebody in the horse business on horses, because as soon as they gain a little knowledge, they think they know everything, and then the sale becomes even tougher. But if you sit down with new people that are coming in, and you explain to them, you know, that this is the horse business, and this is what we do, and how we do it, and where we go, and it kind of whets their appetite a little bit, and then they usually, you know, step forward in it, and especially in the show horse industry. All these kids, when they get into the show horses, oh, it's amazing to see these 4 and 5 year old kids. They got reins in their hands, and they don't have, a phone in their hands, doing all the digital stuff that the kids do today on a phone, because they got reins in their hands and they're feeding their horses and grooming their horses, and it sets a good foundation for them. And what I tell a lot of parents is that if these kids become good at what they're doing, there are full-time college scholarships available for them to just about every major university in this country. I can't think of any better way than going to college, riding and showing horses, you know, to get my business degree or whatever degree you're after, and having the horses pay for it. That's something that's just really great, you know, for the kids to do. And they set the foundation at an early age, and they go right on through them. Some of them make it, but for the most part, all of them are riding. And what I like about it is no matter how young or how old you get, you can always still ride. And that's something that it really says a lot for a sport, that you can go out and ride. And when you're 80 years old, or you can ride when you're 5 years old. And that's what we're trying to do here. We've got a lot of things on IEN, and our website, I tell you, is something that was very, very important to me. It's just every day, you know, I'm on a computer. My friends are on a computer back and forth. Nowadays, you can get anything you want on your phones, anywhere you're at. And so that's why we wanted to take a look at a good website that was one click to IENTV.org, and then that gets you into to our website, and then after that, you're just a click away. For example, today we've got live racing that's coming from Aqueduct in New York. It's their simulcasting signal that we have there for them. In fact, right now they're getting ready. It's 4 minutes to post time at race 2 at Aqueduct. So, that's live. That's live. We have that live here. And we go down to our programming, and you get down to what we've done is taken the top tracks in the country, for example, where we see the most connections from the public to is Aqueduct, the Fairgrounds in New Orleans, Gulfstream Park in Miami, Laurel Park in Merritt, Baltimore, Oakland Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Santa Anita Park in California, Tampa Bay Downs, Turfway Park in Kentucky, and then we have an international section. And we teamed up with Sky Sports to take racing out of Europe, and what they do is they take some of the best racing, that's available, and they broadcast. Of course, it's later at nighttime and everything, but it's all what we're trying to do. And so basically what I'm saying is when you do the one click to IENTV, then you got access to live racing, quality racing from all over the country and all over the world. And that's what we tried to do in our business here. For example, when we're talking about Quest Equine Gold, we have a section for domestic Quest Equine Gold, which is all about the race, the show in here in the United States. And then we have Europe, and it's specifically set up for all the horse showing in Europe. And then we have an international section that'll take us to Asia, South America, all over the world. And there's not a lot of show horse, show horses that are broadcasting right now. And so as they come on online to broadcast, we make sure we're here to help them with their distribution of it. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's on our Quest for Equine Gold. So we cover the whole world, literally, you know, and that's live and tape programming that we're doing. And we do the same thing with the thoroughbreds. You know, we have, like I said, we've identified quite a few racetracks that they have a lot of interest in their programming from that track. And to help them, they help us. We do help with the distribution. Sure, we're small. You know, I couldn't tell you, you know, how many people we might go out to, but we have the potential to go to a lot of people, and it's small. And when you start adding all these things up together, the distribution is what's valuable to these different tracks and to these different industries, like you know, the Federation of International Horses, like you know, thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, all that. It's all about distribution. And if you got a distribution to a million people, not saying that a million people are going to watch your show, but they have the potential to watch it. And that's where the marketing aspect of the horse industry has finally realized that we have to get out to the different programs and do all the things that we're doing here. It's about having the potential. You know, to do it. And that's what I'm really behind now. But like I said, we got the thoroughbreds, the Quest for Equine Gold. Then one of the things that helped generate the racehorse end of it is we got a program called Last Call. And Last Call is very interesting. It's where it's how the horses get into showing and to racing and that type of thing. For example, on the 20th of this month, we have a mixed sale coming out of Europe, and it's a mixed sale of thoroughbred racehorses. And it's really interesting to watch them, how they go through the show ring and how they, you know, present their product that they have for sale. And by the same token, Last Call, we have on the 23rd of January, we have Last Call, and it's coming from Ocala, Florida. And it's horses of all ages and horses in training. And so on January 23rd, which is a Monday, we'll have a undertack, what they call an undertack show. It's 9 a.m., and you can see the horses that are going to be in the sale. And they're actually out on the track, and they what they call breeze them 3/8 of a mile, and then you see how good they run and what they look like, and it's really, you know, a good way of marketing your horses. You can visually see it, because let's face it, this under tack show and all the videos and the things that we're doing here is literally bringing the under tack show to the people via their computer, their phone, you know, their cable network, and that's what it's all about. And again, it goes back to the distribution and the volume of people. Now, you might have 5,000 people hit you know, the website and look at Last Call, and you might not have any of them buy anything. You might have one person, but you know, it's the fact that they have the opportunity wherever they're at. They can't say, "Oh, well, I can't go to the sales because I'll be in New York or I'll be in California." Wherever you're at, you have access to the sales, and that's what we're trying to do here. And then on the 28th of the month, this month, we have the Tattersall sales from Cheltenham in England, and it's a good sale. And you kind of can see how we've got horses from Europe and the United States, but they're all the same. And it's really nice to hear somebody call the sale in French or German. You know, it's really good to see. You know, so that's what I like about what we're doing here. We do a little bit of everything, and we we're taking it by small steps. And like I said, we're starting out with the thoroughbred end of it. It's really a good program that we have, and I think it'll be enjoyable for it. And the other thing that we have that I always have on here is we have a movie on today and the rest of the week called Chasing the Wind. It's about how people in the thoroughbred industry, what they do and how they live and how they get to the winner's circle. It's really a great movie. It's a good documentary. It's a full documentary. And you just go to our website and you click on and you're there. You know, it's a good movie, you know, to watch. So that, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And the reason I put that movie on is because it gives a behind the scene look to what the thoroughbred industry is about. And all of our programming on the movies will be behind the scenes type of thing, of how people train horses, how they raise horses, you know, how they take them to the sales, and, you know, just what a lifestyle it is. You know, it's, I should change the name of that. You know, what I'm thinking about doing now is we have It's Family Time at IEN. And maybe we could get a new name for that. What could we call it? Maybe we'll have somebody call in to 323-744-4828 and give us a suggestion on the name. And the first person that we have call in, I'll send them a 2023 Kentucky Derby glass. And in that way, even if you can't be at Churchill, at least you can have a mint julep made in your own derby glass, official derby glass. But, yeah, you know, those are the kind of things we're looking at, you know, to do that. You know, looking for names and things, you know, to name that movie. But like I said, it's called Family Time now at IEN. And maybe we could, you know, get a good suggestion on what we could call that and everything. So, you know, it's interesting, the horse business is. People don't realize that the horse business affects any and everybody in the community that they're in, whether it's a small stable or a large stable. The people that are in that economy are getting things. And I tell you, one of the interesting things that I saw, it was up in southern Indiana. And there was a good community, but the feed stores were really far apart for the one people that had a small farm. And, you know, they had some horses that they were raising and teaching how to show jump and, you know, that type of thing. And they were telling me one of the problems they had was going to the feed store. They said, you know, it was tough on them going to the feed store. And I said, well, where's the feed store at? And I got to laughing. They said, we don't have one. I said, but how do you feed your horses? Well, if we go to the feed store, we have to go to, you know, 25 miles away. So we have to do that, you know, like once a week, and they don't deliver and, you know, that type of thing. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, go down to your local Walmart or your local pet store or your local hardware store and ask them if they carry feed, you know. And they said, well, some of them said, well, we could, but we just don't have enough people. So long story short, the Walmart there that they had made arrangements to get some feed. So it was a great thing for them. They actually had horse feed in their pet department. You know, it was a special request. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else bought from them, but, you know, it kind of helped them with their problem. And a lot of the pet stores, instead of, you know, that have dogs, cats, canaries, and fishes, you know, in there, a lot of those people, they will carry feed, horse feed, you know, if you ask them. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, we're looking, you know, around for and trying to help people with. It makes their life a little easier, you know, on them. I tell you, You'd be surprised nowadays with the way they ship everything with Amazon and all these other companies that are shipping. You know, it's really interesting, you know, to see what Amazon can ship. And from what I've seen, I think Amazon could ship a whole house, you know, if you ask them. You know, it costs you a little bit, but, you know, that's a problem that we have in the business. And like, for example, one of the companies that I deal with is called FarmVet. They are horse health. And one call puts you right with everything that you need. FarmVet can get it for you, whether it's medications, whether it's, you know, a halter, horseshoes. You name it, if a horse needs it, they have it, you know, and they got direct shipping, and then they do have some stores around the country. They're like at Wellington on South Shore Drive, they got a store there, and Farm Vet's really a good company, and they've got very educated people that you talk with and salespeople that you deal with, and if you tell them you got a problem, they can tell you about the products because they're hands-on people. And that's what we're trying to do. Again, it's about distribution. The more people they can get out to, and like I said, I'm not very big, but, you know, if they can get one or two people here and there, you know, to a farm vet, then that adds to, you know, to their distribution power. And before you know it, you get a bunch of people like IEN, you know, pushing and tugging it at the horse industry, you're going to have access to any and everything. You know, that's what we're looking at. We've got a farm of the week that we do. It's in Wilmington, Ohio. It's the World Equestrian Center. And it's a quick little snippet of what they're doing and what they're showing and how to get there and what they can do. And then the one in Ocala. The World Equestrian Center in Ocala, my goodness, it is unbelievable. It is the most beautiful, well-equipped horse facility I've ever been in, and I've been to 12 different countries, and I've seen from the biggest to the smallest. But the World Equestrian Center in Ocala is phenomenal. They have a church on property for all the equestrians that are there. They have stores. They have restaurants. They're building another hotel. They're going to have two hotels. They got 5-star dining. They've got the blacksmith. The University of Florida has a vet clinic on property for the horsemen that are there. They've got everything and anything that you can need right there at the World Equestrian Center. And again, it goes back to why are people going there? Because they have everything there. The distribution for all the requirements that you need in the horse business is right at hand there. You don't have to worry about a drop ship coming. You don't have to worry about anything. It's all right there and can be delivered to you right at your barn. And that's what we're trying to, you know, do is let people know about this. And Farm Vet, they've got things for cats and dogs and you name it, they got it. And if they don't have it, they'll tell you where you can get it. And that's what it's all about, you know, in the horse business. We have an Equestrian of the Week segment there. You know, this girl that we have on there this week, this is her quest. Her quest is to ride every breed of horse that there is in the world. And, of course, it requires a lot of travel. You know, and she's going to be from riding thoroughbreds to, you know, driving standardbreds and doing show jumpers and, you know, horses that, you know, pull farm wagons like the Amish horses. That's her goal. And that's what she's doing in life. She's going all across the world, you know, learning about all the different breeds. And it's a great little segment. You know, it's unbelievable, you know, that somebody would take on, you know, a task like that, and when she gets done, there are not going to be too many people that could say, hey, I did that, you know. She's like the front runner of it and all. So that's our equestrian of the week, and that's what we try to do is we try to put equestrians up there that are different and unique in some way, shape, or form. You don't have to be a Derby winner or a Little Brown Jug winner or a gold medal winner from the Olympics. We just want to put that equestrian of the week up every week and let them know, you know, that, hey, we recognize you. You know, this is what, and we want to know more about you. And we want to tell the world about what you are doing. And, you know, I've had a couple of people say, oh, well, I'm just a little small outfit, you know. And I said, well, I said, this is just it. There's people that need to know about what you're doing. I have a lady that was struggling up in Lexington, Kentucky. She was trying to rehome, you know, horses from the racetrack and give them a second life, a second purpose. And so one thing led to another, and we were discussing some things, and they were asking, you know, X number of dollars for a horse because he was a son of Secretariat, or, you know, the daughter of Secretariat and the bloodline. And I said, well, you know, I said, here's the deal. I said, that bloodline doesn't mean nothing in the show horse industry. It's the talent that the horse has, you know, and I said, that's what you got to go for. And I said, if you put a single price on that horse, it will say $2,500. You're going to sell horses right and left, day in and day out, at all levels. I said, that's what you're going to do. And about 80 horses later, the farm told me, said, you know, you were right. Said, you know, we get them going as soon as they get here. And you know, that's and again, it's all about distribution, having the right price, and the things that you need to do, you know, in the horse business. And you'll find that's universal everywhere. Doesn't matter what breed you are, what country you're from. You know, it's all about, you know, what you have to offer and how you can get them there. And so that's what we're looking at. And that's our farm of the week, equestrian of the week, and business of the week. And again, one click, you know, that's going to answer everything that you need to know. And staying on that same line of thought, again, like you've heard me say before, Hallway Feeds in Lexington, Kentucky is probably the feed company in the world. They can mix your feed the way you want it, and they've got personnel that can tell you, you know, what your horse might need. You might have a problem and saying, you know, my horse is just getting off the track and I don't want to keep him hot, as they call them when they come off the tracks, and we want to kind of bring him down off of that, you know, that high-powered horse feed and get him into a regular routine. They tell you what they have and you know, what you need. And you might have an old horse or a young horse. They can tell you what you need for them. And that's whether it's a show horse, race horse, you know, or just, you know, a backyard pony, you know, that type of thing. And that's why we direct everybody to Hallway Feeds. Then we have... another thing that's important to the horseman is traveling. When you're traveling, you got a lot to think about. And we direct you towards Camping World. Camping World, they deal with a lot of horsemen. They deal with a lot of sports programs. They deal with a lot of athletes. They deal with all types of people. And they have from small trailers to, you know, the million-dollar buses, you know, that you can have. And the reason I like this story, and the reason why I like having Camping World around, is in Ocala, there was a guy that was talking to me about, you know, what I was doing. And I told him, this had been quite a few years back, and he was a groom. And grooms, you know, they make a good living, but it's difficult when you travel so much, you know, to get a hotel or an apartment or a house, because, you know, they're on the move every 3 or 4 or 5 months, you know, they moving and going back up to New York or, you know, to Kentucky or wherever. So he goes over to the Camping World outlet in Ocala, and he starts talking to the salesman. And the guy says, well, you know, he says, I got an older truck, and the groom says, you know, I just need something to get. Well, they got him what they called a teardrop trailer. And this thing is like really small. It looks like a teardrop. And it was hilarious. But it had a little refrigerator in it. It had, you know, all the amenities that one would need. And it fit right behind his truck. It was like a little U-Haul trailer. This guy just went nuts. And for 8 years, he's been driving it. He goes everywhere he goes. You know, he can pull in and you know, set it up real quick. And, you know, it's good, and it's his home, and it's his, you know, and it saves him a lot of money. And so that's why we put Camping World in there. You can go to the very extravagant million-dollar buses and get all the bells and whistles, or you can find something in between. And what I like about it, especially the toy haulers, you know, horsemen carry a lot of stuff with them. And right now I know a guy that he's got a trailer that he ordered from Camping World. It's a Keystone Montana trailer. And he likes that for living in. And then he also bought what they call a toy hauler, where you could take ATVs, you know, and things like that. And what he did, and what they call the garage on it, where you would store the ATVs, he converted that over to his equine office. So he's got a living space in there, kitchen, you know, the TV, the restroom, the whole nine yards. And then in the back, in the garage area, he's got his office. And it's just it's like at the farm. You know, he's got his desk in there, he's got his computer, he's got everything in there. And so he really likes that because he can have people over, clients over, and they've got, you know, a kitchen in the thing. They've got, you know, theater seats. They've got couches. You know, they've got all the bells and whistles of a regular RV. And then, of course, they've got a bedroom in it too. And he said he doesn't use that much. Because he's got another RV that's just strictly for living. So, you know, he likes that. He takes what he calls, he's taking a farm with him. And so, you know, these are the kind of things that we're doing here. We're trying to put our horsemen and equestrian in touch with, you know, with the things that they do. And we call that section Equestrian Life Made Easy. And that's what we like about it. And to do that, we've got, the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel's on there. I know you guys heard me talk about this before. The Weather Channel's there. It's a quick link to the Weather Channel, you know, so that you know where you're going and what you need to do. You know, so that's good. You know, I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to have things like this to the horseman. Like the Weather Channel. And then if you're not into the RVing and you know, you're only going to be gone to an event for two or three days, like say, for example, you're going to the Kentucky Derby. It's really, you know, it's hard to find housing. The campgrounds are usually filled up all the way from Cincinnati to Lexington to Nashville. You know, people are at the showgrounds or the campgrounds there, and they drive back and forth, you know, to Louisville. And so, you know, we got it linked up with Trivago, and Trivago is a company that that can help you with auto, hotels, you name it, they have it. And so we're putting in their links today, and after 5 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to go to our website, and you'll be able to click on to, you know, Trivago, Weather Channel, and get whatever you need one click, real quick. You know, we're going to have MapQuest is going to be put up. MapQuest is important because it can, whether you're in a car or a truck, you go to MapQuest and they can get you right to the place that you need to go. And again, like I said, it's a one click deal. And then probably the thing that I would say the quickest link that we have, that'll be up today, it's called ship.com, S-H-I-P-T.com. And what I like about Ship is the fact that they can, they have like Walgreens and CVS, and they have, Target, they have Kroger's, they have Meijer's, they have Winn-Dixie, they have Publix. They got Bed Bath & Beyond. You name it, they have it on there. And what it is when you go to that link at ship.com, it tells you what businesses and grocery stores and things they have available, in that area. You just put in your zip code, and it tells you. And what I like about it is with a membership, which we will be giving away next Thursday, a one-year membership to a caller that calls in. We will give that away, and then that way you don't have you get a free year of ship.com, on IEM. And if they call in next Thursday, and we'll see if we give it away or if it's going to be like my derby glass where I just add it to my collection. But ship.com, they deliver anywhere in that zip code. And believe you me, I believe in them because when I was in the hospital for a long time, I could order from ship.com and they brought it to me. When you're at the showgrounds, if you're wherever you're at in your RV, you just go to ship.com and they'll deliver right to you. Whether it's an apartment, a house, a hotel, a hospital, showgrounds, racetrack, they'll deliver to you. And so again, we go back to, we're trying to get everything here to up to speed on our website so it'll make life easier for you. And that's what it's all about in the horse business, is how easy can we make it for everybody? Can we make it entertaining? Can we make it, a website that's going to help you out in time of need? We want to do that. And that's why we put all these different things on. And whether you're in a hotel, a house, an RV, no matter what state you're in, no matter what country you're in, you come to our website and we're going to be able to get you there with one click. Well, actually two clicks. One click to IEN and then one click to whatever, part of the site that you're looking for. And so, that's what we're doing there. And then the thing that I like the most is, we have year-round coverage of the Breeders' Cup, what's leading up to the Breeders' Cup. We'll have everything leading up to the 2023 Breeders' Cup. We'll be carrying live all the win and year-end Breeders' Cup races, and then we'll have an international, a Breeders' Cup that we can follow on there. And then the thing that I like the most about what we're doing here, and just exciting for me because I'm involved with quite a few of the horses that are going to the Derby this year because they're at a training facility that we have here in Delray Beach. It's called How They Get There, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And it's really an exciting type of thing. The one thing that I would suggest is you go to and look at it and take a look at it. It's the journey starts with the owner. And we featured Windstar Farm. And the real reason that I did Windstar Farm is because I used to work with the Windstar. And they're great people. Kenny Trout is fantastic. Elliot Walden does a superb job on running the overall aspect of the farm. I worked for Elliot, and he's a great person, very great person. Kenny Trout is the best owner that you could ever have. And so we take you and let you see what Windstar is all about. And then the trainer is the next thing in how they get there. And that's important for the owners to have a good trainer. And we're featuring Wayne Lucas and Todd Pletcher. And I worked for D-Wayne. And the guy is a tremendous horseman, a great businessman. But the thing I always said about Wayne, after working for him and getting to know him, he's a better person than he is a horseman, and he's a better person than he is a businessman. And he's at the top of the business. He's at the top of the trainers. but he's a better person, and that's what makes him so successful. And then we take a look at Brookledge, how they get the horses around, equine transportation. I worked for Brookledge. I was up at Belmont Park in New York and did a lot of shipping with them, and it was really good. You know, and it takes you behind the scenes and shows you what they have to do to get there. And then a good friend of mine that, you know, we show, he's a blacksmith, Steve Norman's his name. He's probably the best in the business. He's done just about everything you can do. And I knew how good he was when one of the trainers that I had worked for, they said they never tell him how to shoe a horse. They let him shoe the horse. And sometimes you get a lot of trainers that come in, oh, well, he needs to have this done. You know, I want that done. You know, and Steve's the kind of guy who comes in and he tells you, this is what we need to do with this horse. These are the shoes that you need on this horse, and this is where we go from there. So, again, you know, it goes back to the owner and trainer, and you got to have good people around you, you know, like a Steve Norman. And then, again, there's hallway feeds. You can go take a look at that. Then a lot of owners go to the sales. And we have Keeneland, the Keeneland sales over there. A lot of people like to go in and buy yearlings and buy two-year-olds in training and get them ready to, you know, for the road to the Derby. You know, that's, again, it goes back to the owner and the trainer. And, you know, it's a tough thing, that you know, on how to get to the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of pieces to this, you know, to this project. And then we have the Derby prep races. And that's what, you know, is really interesting, because the Kentucky Derby people have set up a series of races to qualify your horses for the Derby. Because they have over 10,000 horses that are barn a year that could be going, you know, everybody has the dream of going to the Derby. You know, that's the ultimate dream. You can't get any better than that. I've actually known people that have won the Kentucky Derby, and their goal was never to go, you know, they stepped back and they said, hey, we've done it. You know, we're going to take that. And you know, if a great horse comes along, good. But, you know, we're not so, you know, we feel fulfilled. We feel satisfied and successful for, you know, getting to the Derby. But like I said, every year in November, it's in September, the first Derby prep race is the Iroquois at Churchill Downs. And everybody likes to run that race because if you can get into it, because it gives you horse experience over that track, over Churchill Downs, you know, and stakes competition. So you really know what kind of horse you have. And then they have the another race there in the fall. It's called the Jockey Club, and it's another, you know, race to see what kind of horse you have, if you can get him on the right road to the Derby, and you got experience over the track again that they have there. And then the next race that really kicks off the road to the Kentucky Derby is the two-year-old Breeders' Cup Juvenile that they have. If you can make it there, then you got a pretty good shot at, you know, getting to Churchill that first Saturday in May. And one thing that I like about it is I get all excited in November, probably more so than I do. Well, not as much as I get excited about Thanksgiving. But, you know, the Breeders' Cup is close at it. And then I like to just get on through the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, and get into the road to the Kentucky Derby. And that, I mean, that's just personally me, you know, how I like to do that. But like I said, the road to the Kentucky Derby, they got horse racing, two or three, you know, prep races for the Derby. And you're trying to get them there, and you got to earn points to get to the Derby, because, like I said, there's 10,000, you know, thoroughbreds born a year, and, you know, only 20 can run in the Kentucky Derby. So they finally had to create a system that would help get the top quality horses to the Derby. And so for a while, if you had a lot of money earnings, you know, that would kind of get you in the door. And then they got to realizing that shrewd trainers knew how to mount that purse money up. and they could get in and race a few races and get a lot of purse money. And, you know, they were okay races, but nothing that, you know, was really telltale, you know, on it. So then they started realizing that they needed to get a point system and get away from the money earnings and go to the points. So they created a list of racing from all the tracks across the country that they had. And there's 26 races, actually, that they're going to be involved in this program. I think it's probably the best thing that they can do, because it helps each track attract patrons to come in and fans to come in. Because, like, for example, we got the Locomet, and I'm rough on words. I'm brutal on words, pronouncing them correctly. I got book learning, but not that much getting into the business. But it's from the fairgrounds in New Orleans. It's a mile and 16th. It's a $200,000 purse, and that's going to be on January 21st. That's this weekend. And so now you got some pretty good horses that are going in there, and I like it, because you got to start proving yourself. You know, you can't just sit back and just take it easy. You know, you got to start proving yourself. And so I was laughing today. I said, now the trainers, like Bob Baffert and Steve Asmussen and Brad Cox and, you know, Todd Pletcher, those kind of people. Now, when they go to their owners, they got to get a multitude of 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds to start out, you know, because that's what it's all about. And, hey, we had a race out in California last week, and it was a 6-horse race. And Bob Baffert had 4 of the horses in there, and 1 scratched out, so it was a 5-horse race, you know, but they were all, you know, 3-year-olds, and they're trying to get them, you know, ready to get to the Derby. Now, they don't have a lot of Derby points, but after the race that they had last weekend, he knows how good they are, he knows where they're at, you know, in their training, and his whole thing is to start looking for races that have Derby points so he could possibly get them back to the Derby. You know, that's what he's trying to do. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting how they're playing the game with these trial races, you know, to get them, these prep races to get them there and everything. So that's what, you know, this horse business is all about, is, you know, pre-planning everything that you're doing to get to the Derby. And, you know, you got the trainer and the owner get together, and it's a lot of planning. It's a lot of logistics in there to where you go to get points. And so then after that, at Oaklawn Park, January 28th, it's the Southwest. And that the Southwest is setting everything up for the Arkansas Derby, which gives a lot of points. So you don't have to travel to get points, you know, because you can literally stay right at, you know, at Oaklawn. Or the fairgrounds, the Locomet is a prep race for the Louisiana Derby. So, you know, that's there. But the Southwest is $750,000 going a mile and a 16th. So, you know, you're looking at some good money there. So now that, you know, having said that, these trainers have to really get real refined on their training program. They have to get, you know, the plans all etched in stone to where they're going to go with their horse. And hopefully you can win. If you don't win, then you got to have that backup race. You know, so, well, he got in there and it was tough. Was he a quality horse? We'll say, like, let's say, for example, the Southwest at Oakland. Yeah, let's say you run 3rd or 4th, 5th, maybe. You come out and you kind of evaluate your horse and say, hey, you know, he just had a bad trip. You know, it was a muddy track. Not looking for excuses, but just trying to figure out reasons why he didn't run. And so then after you evaluate that and determine what happened in that race, then you said, well, you know, we're still going to keep him on the road to the Derby, so we might point him towards, you know, the John Battaglia a mile and a 16th up at Turfway Park in Kentucky. Or, you know, they might say, we'll try the Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita in February, or the Sam Davis at Tampa Bay, which is a prep race for the Tampa Bay Derby. You know, try to get him somewhere else. You know, and then if he runs bad there, if he just gets outrun, then, you know, that kind of stakes competition is not his cup of tea. So, you know, that's what you start looking at. And I get so excited because every weekend, you know, there's something that's going on, you know, here that I like to see. You know, it makes my weekends a lot more enjoyable because I can sit right here and I can go to my own website and I can watch all these Derby prep races right from my, you know, right from my living room. You know, I like that and everything. Sure, I'd like to be at all the places, but over my, you know, 35 years in the business, you know, I've been there, done that, and I've been very blessed, you know, but now I kind of like to where I can sit at home and barbecue and not have to worry about working and you know, just watch everything on the internet and we get set up and go from there, you know, so kind of do that. But that's what I like about the Derby prep race season and everything. And in that first leg series, it really starts putting the points on the board, you might want to say, to qualify you for the Derby. And they call it the first leg. It's a point system. First is 50 points, second is 20, third 15, fourth 10, and fifth 5. And then we have, in that series, we have the Risen Star, the Rebel, Fountain of Youth, the Gotham, San Felipe, Tampa Bay Derby, and the Sunland Derby. So now that you get there, you know, now you're really serious. You're in the top 50, you know, or top 40, I would say, for the Derby. And then you get into that second leg, and that's where all the points, you know, they get up there and they double. And then you're talking about the Louisiana Derby, the UAE Derby, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, Florida Derby, Arkansas Derby, Bluegrass Stakes, Santa Anita Derby, and Wood Memorial. So if you win one of those, you're pretty much, and you already got Derby points. That makes you look pretty good for the Derby to qualify. And then they have a wild card race, and it's the Lexington Stakes in April 15th, 2 weeks before the Derby, and that's probably your last shot to get in the Derby, you know, when you get there for it. And so, you know, the whole point that we're saying, it's just like life in general, it's organization. If you're organized and you're methodical at what you do, life can really be fun in the horse business. But you got to make sure you're prepared, and you got to watch out for the things that might jump up and get you, you know. And so that's why you need to sit down and make a day-to-day list of what you do, how you do it, and, you know, have a little backup plan on it. You know, you need to do that. It's like an order and feed. You know that you use 10 bags of feed a week, you know, for two horses. You always want to make sure you got 12 bags of feed, because that 12th bag, the 11 and 12 bag, might be the bag that saves you if their truck breaks down, or, you know, if you have some kind of problem, you know, that type of thing. It's all about organization. It's about how you flow. It's how you go, you know, and that's what we're trying to do here at IEN. We're trying to give the horsemen the opportunity to get organized. And whenever you come to IEN TV and you want to see this week's Derby prep races, you come there on Saturday and, you know, or Sunday, and you click right onto it, and there you go. You know, you're right to each one of the tracks that you need to go to, and you don't have to work at it or anything. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And then we're going to show how the owners and trainers make a decision to run in the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And then we're going to show you the actual Kentucky Derby. So that's what we're trying to do here at IEN. If you want to ever get a hold of me, call me at 561-466-1272. Go to IENEquineTV@gmail.com, email me, or just get on our website and you can get all that information that you need. But, you know, we're going in the right direction. We're really going to make headway when we when we actually start getting the video in, and you'll see other announcers, and you'll hear other announcers, and you won't have to put up with me and my rambling as I go on, you know, and everything. But that's what we do. We get it here and try to make it easy for the horsemen. So nobody called in for the Derby glass. Nobody called in for the ship, free ship membership. So my treasure chest is getting bigger and bigger every week. So this might be a good thing for me. You know, I have nothing out of pocket. Everything stays here at home. So look forward to next Thursday. We'll have some prep race results, and we'll have a little bit more on our Quest for Equine Gold debut. And we're going to have fun because we're going to be debuting all week long. So see you or hear from you next Thursday at 1 o'clock.